Hello, folks. Welcome to the Pendles and Clarkey Show. I'm Jake Clark from the Herald Sun. Scott Pendlebury, five-time All-Australian, five-time best and fairest, Norm Smith medal winner, and probably the finest table tennis player to come out of Sale. How are you, Scotty?
I'm good, mate. Thanks for that kind introduction. How are you?
Glad you, and you're pretty handy, let's be honest. Hey, you've had a big off-season, mate, and I'm not just talking about coming back to training 2 weeks early. Very exciting news, my friend, that your beautiful wife, Alex, is pregnant. Congratulations.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, she is. The hardest part about coming back 2 weeks early is we were in that stage where we didn't tell anyone. Still waiting for it all to be officially confirmed. A lot of excitement. Wanted to tell a few of the boys, but I had to try and keep it in, and it's very exciting, due sort of middle to late May, and I can't wait to meet the little fella.
Late May, so you played 236 games, your 250th June.
Yeah.
So what happens, mate, if you get the call on a Saturday morning, just before your game, or a Sunday morning, you're going to play footy, or you're going to go to the berth?
I will be going to the berth. So,
have you talked about this with Bucks yet?
Well, Bucks doesn't know that yet, but I'm sure he'll understand. So, if it was finals, obviously it'd be a lot different, but yeah. I think a home and away game, I'm prepared to miss one for the birth of my son. And it'd be funny if the banner was all done for 250 and I don't even get to run through it. So, I might send my younger brother out or something.
Now, you're very composed, mate, on the field, we know that. Cool as ice out there, nothing flusters you. How are you going to go? 3 o'clock in the morning, the little man screaming. Yeah, Alex hasn't slept well for a couple of nights. How are you going to go? Because that's the real red time, my friend. That's when you earn the big bucks.
I've heard that. And I said, like, happy wife, happy life. So I've got to keep Alex happy in that first initial sort of 6 to 8 months. But there'll be some challenging times, I reckon, 3 a.m. when we don't know what's going on and we can't sort it all out. So I'll probably just duck off back to sleep in the spare room and leave it to Alex.
I think Sammy Mitchell, he slept at the Langham when they had their twins. I think he used to sleep the night before games at the Langham with his own pillow to make sure he got that.
Do you have proof of that? If you got proof of that, I'll get that to Alex and you can have a read.
I'm pretty sure that's you. Andrew Carrazzo, when he had triplets, he got nannies and slept in other rooms. Well, something like that anyway. So make sure you get your good night's sleep. And are you very regimented, Scotty? You don't want to mess with that, mate.
I'm not too regimented anymore. I've relaxed a lot.
Really?
The night before a game is sacred. Mm. So if you can get that Sam Mitchell piece about staying at the Langham or whatever and I can use, I need evidence. She's not going to go off if I just said a bit of hearsay, seashay or whatever it's called.
Now, when the kids do play up, like I would turn to maybe a bowl of ice cream or, you know, some sort of ice, a glass of red wine. What are you going to do at 10 o'clock when you've had a stressful day? The footy club or your kids are playing?
I thought you said when your kids have played up, you've given them a bowl of ice cream.
No, You need advice, mate. You need advice.
Sounds of it is if they're asleep, my advice will be going to bed, trying to get as much sleep as I can. So, I don't know.
When was your last bowl of ice cream?
Oh, a long time ago. It's not probably something I'd go to anyway.
Months, years?
Oh, it'd be years, but it's not something that I would turn to. A nice glass of red, maybe.
We're going to talk a lot of things on this podcast, and this is our first up crack. We're going to have an analytical look at footy, are we not?
I will, and you'll just argue the point.
Exactly. And some wider sport. We know you like your basketball and some different things, some boxing that's going on. So we'll get to that all in a second. But the big news is that Swanee's in the jungle, mate. Now, I reckon he's an absolute favourite to win this. How do you think Swanee is going to go in the jungle?
I think he'll go fine initially. If they start starving him with food, he'll struggle. I think he'll go fine. Like all the, skydiving, all those type of challenges. I don't think nothing will worry him in terms of challenges because he's just got that carefree attitude. And I think everyone will see that when he's in there, that it's literally, that is Dane Swan and this is how he rolls. So I think he'll be fine. There's nothing that challenges too much. Obviously with his foot, he's going to struggle to run, which I think he's happy about because he doesn't like running at the best of times. So I can't see too much stuff worrying him.
You ever see him get stressed at the footy club?
No, not really. The only time he ever got stressed is when we had big running sessions to do. So he wasn't a massive fan. But like always, he was always stressed or worried about it, but he always got it done. Mm. So I think the best thing, they're part of a team. And as much as he's an individual, he'll never let his team down. So, but I'm looking forward to him opening up more and more as the season progresses.
He might bring out some old footy tales, mate. It will be interesting to hear those. Now, let's talk about footy, because the Bulldogs were the big story of last season. They absolutely came from the clouds. I want to know what you saw tactically that made them, you know, such an outstanding success story last year, because I think they lost to Fremantle and then they started the finals campaign 67-1 or something. No one gave him any chance.
Yeah.
So what do you see in this magnificent side?
Well, firstly, well done to the Bulldogs on winning the flag. I think it was a fantastic effort that I tipped, Jay, that you didn't tip.
I saw that. I'm a pick Sydney.
And I'm still spearing that Liam Smith. No, sorry, Liam Smith. Liam Picken. Liam Smith's the boxer who just fought Canelo Alvarez. But Liam Picken, I did the grand final breakfast and I tipped him for the Norm Smith and I thought he was very stiff. But I think what they do well, mate, is they've got 22 guys that contribute every week. And it's basic and everyone looks for these great tactics and things that sides do really well. And the two things the Bulldogs did better than anyone was contested ball. When they won the ball, they were unbelievable around the midfield. They dominated the finals with that, you know, outnumber around the ball. And they'd send a high half forward, usually Caleb Daniel, up around stoppage as well to give them an extra number.
Mm-hmm.
And when they won that ball, it was, you know, good luck getting it back off them. I think they were in the final series, number one contested ball side, number one time in possession side. So it's pretty hard to beat them when they've always got the ball.
And isn't it amazing when you look at what Hawthorn's done? And they were one of the best, most beautiful ball-using sides of the past 10 years. And you hear Alistair Clarkson say he doesn't give two hoots about the contest or the clearance, really. And then what the Bulldogs do is place huge emphasis on that centre clearance, don't they? So they totally differ in their styles.
They differ in their styles with the how they, I suppose, with the ball and you know, Clarkson doesn't care about contested possession and Bevo does. But I think that's just looking at your side and analysing what's going to suit your side best. You know, I think Bevo would be silly to walk out of Hawthorn and go to the Bulldogs and try and turn the Bulldogs into something they're not. Yeah. So he's just looked at his side, realised they've got Wallace, Liberatore, Bontempelli, Caleb Daniel, Smith. They had Kobe Stevens there, just guys that are hard nuts that can win the footy and they've got, you know, elite hands.
So what do you...
I just think that they just played to their strengths and they both defend very similar though. And I think you've seen that in the final they played against each other. They defend similar.
Mm.
But the thing where the Bulldogs got on top is, A, Hawthorn didn't take their chances early in the game when they could have really put a gap in the game.
Yep.
And then Bulldogs just sort of waited possessions and started to dominate that game. They won the footy and Hawthorn's pressure game is elite.
Yep.
And they buffered that pressure and got through and eventually broke them.
You know Luke Beveridge as well as anyone. He coached here. He seems like a snake charmer. You know, he seems like just a wizard from outside. The players love him so much.
I'm petrified of snakes too.
what is the genius in Luke Beveridge? How do you remember him?
I just remember, like, as a guy here when we won our flag in 2010, it's just that a lot of people had really strong relationships with Bevo. Mm. He worked in the development program when he was here. He always had a smile on his face, had a lot of fun.
He's a cuddler.
Yeah, he's a big feeler. And he's... I don't know, just a guy that everyone got along with. And, you know, it's hard to say what he's like now that he's in, you know, what everyone calls the hot seat. But
he's probably the same.
Yeah, he maybe is. And the thing that I often hear as players is that, you know, when you ask players at other clubs about assistant coaches that you've had that have now gone on to a senior coach, is just usually there's a massive difference into what you remember them as and to what they've become now as a senior coach. And they, you know, the hot seat changes people. And it sounds like with Bevo it hasn't.
Mm. Now, you in round one, you got a big game against this mob. So this is why this is particularly relevant as well. And you're going to come up against your old mate, Travis Cloke, who's looking leaner, he's looking fitter. We all hear that he's reinvigorated down there, needed the change, wanted the change, and has been training very well. Let's be honest, he is an upgrade on Zane Cordy, who played in the grand final side and had played about 10 games. I think he's 19 years old. What's it going to be like for you guys taking on him and... from the other, on the other side of it, Travis Cloke taking on the Collingwood Football Club round one?
I think it'll be weirder for him than it is for us because he's coming up against his old side and he's coming up against, you know, 22 guys that he knows. And
a bit of lip out there, I'm sure.
Yeah, there will be, but it'll be funny if Trav tries to fire anything back to see if he gets it right. But, as you said, I think, you know, Trav wanted to go. The footy club were happy to, you know, facilitate a trade. And it's been great for him to to get to the Bulldogs. It still looks weird when I see him in the red, white and blue and running around, but, you know, we at Collingwood, you know, we wish him all the best for round two and beyond.
It's been a big year for trades and player movement, hasn't it? And I think what we're going to see over the next few years is more and more of this, which I think is a good thing for the competition. I think this was good for Travis. It's good for players to move. And it's probably not a bad time to just look back on what you thought was the biggest trade of last season. Or what's going to be the move, the big deal that's going to have the most impact for you? Because there have been some really big ones the last few years.
Yeah, there's. I think free agency has created some big moves and it gives players late in their career a chance to control their career a bit more. And, you know, for me, I think, you know, the obvious one is everyone talking about Sam Mitchell going to West Coast and how much that helps them as a side. And I think, no doubt it does. Any side that got Sam Mitchell, it's going to be massive for. But the one for me, I think Jordan Lewis going to Melbourne. They're just such a young side and, you know, they're in a side that, they've got to learn how to play together better, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's like every side that misses finals. The missing ingredient is working together and playing for each other more than you think you're already doing and willing to sacrifice your own game a little bit. And I think Jordan's been a part of a very successful team. He won the what's their best and fairest at Hawthorn called?
Crimmins.
He won the Crimmins medal as an inside midfielder in a premiership side. And the next year he plays half forward wing. Now, at any side he would have been... You know, he could have just been like, why aren't I playing back on ball again? You know, last year I've dominated the season, all Australian, blah, blah, blah. Next season I come out here and I'm playing on a wing, half forward. But that was the beauty of Hawthorn. That's why they were so hard to beat. And, you know, they still are, is that they've got multiple guys who can play different positions. And I think at Melbourne he's going to teach guys about the importance of developing others, making others better.
I think that's a good point on almost becoming an on-field coach. And we hear it a bit. But for mine, when you have like a Nathan Jones, who in that Melbourne group can challenge a Nathan Jones if something happens out there? This, as you said, they're such a young group that if Jonesy does the wrong thing, for example, I don't think anyone's going to put the acid on him. Jordan Lewis will, though.
Yeah, well, I think Jordan will put it on anyone.
Mm.
And I think he'd expect it to come back to him as well because... As I said, like I don't think anyone on Melbourne's list outside Nathan Jones, maybe Hibbert and that as well, that have played finals. You know, they're a side that hasn't played a lot of finals, almost similar to us here at Collingwood. Look, we're in a side here where there's a few guys who have played in a premiership, but a lot of guys have not played in a final series. Yeah. So you can talk about wanting to get to finals and playing finals, but you've got a guy here who's won four flags. He's played in five grand finals. He's played in probably six or seven prelim finals. That when he says something, you got to listen because you know that he's been there, done it, and performed really well in it.
Mm. And Mitchell's probably a similar impact at West Coast, who really underperformed last year, didn't they? But what's your take on Nat Fyfe and Dustin Martin at the moment? It's been big news this week with Dustin Martin putting his contract talks on hold. And Nat Fyfe said some similar things at the end of last year, I think, really putting Fremantle on notice. You know, holding out, waiting to see what the clubs, the Dockers and the Tigers do. If I am at Richmond, and probably still Fremantle, I'm shifting uncomfortably a little bit. Because if they have average seasons again, you know, and they were both very poor last year, why wouldn't Nat Fyfe accept a $1.5 million move? Dustin Martin will have suitors as well. So don't you think it really puts the heat on those clubs to perform, to keep these guys?
Well, in the NBA, they've just introduced a system where the club, you know, say Steph Curry at Golden State, he can re-sign at that club for an extra year more than any other club can offer him. So it entices clubs that draft players, they get enticed to keep their players. And for players, it makes sense to stay because you get more money, a longer deal. So
that's,
I think something like that could be worked into the free agency model that we've got here, because that way keeps... And it also stops, like, whether Martin goes or stays, Fyfe goes or stays, they're going to be under so much pressure. And I think Martin's just come out and said he's not going to talk contract to the end of the year. So he's got to expect now that the media is going to hound him every time he plays about whether he plays good or bad, Richmond win or lose. It's all about the story now is about Dustin Martin. Will he stay or will he go? Yeah. Same with Nate Fyfe. So, it's going to be tough for both player and club, because if you're not flying, you're going to cop it. And if you are flying, they're still going to ask the same question.
I remember you being in this situation. It didn't seem didn't fluster you. I think Paddy Dangerfield coped with it really well. You know, Lance Franklin, I'm not too sure.
I signed a year early.
Yeah, but the one before that?
I signed an extra year extension.
This is why. It was your contract, so you probably...
I've never gone into a season with 1 year left.
Always re-signed early.
Always re-signed. early.
And they're clearly not doing that, these two players. Because
I think now, because you can, you've got that ability to sit back and wait, as you said. You know, you're in the media, you're the one who writes all this stuff.
Exactly.
So for you and your job, it's great because now you can speculate on something for a whole year.
Don't the coaches love it? I just wonder whether Hawthorn, right, this is my theory, whether Hawthorn, after losing Mitchell and Lewis, clearing some cap space again this year, look at Burgoyne, Hodge, maybe Gibson go, that's probably $1.5 million in their salary cap.
But they got O'Meara and Mitchell and Vickery in.
Yeah. Yeah, I still think this year they'll be clearing more cap space. So they fitted that into their salary cap last year.
That's the master plan.
I think that Hawthorn, and this is the issue with free agency, because the clubs
are going to... Who would you take first, Martin or Fife?
Please, that's not even a question, is it? Oh. It's Fife by the length of the Flemington Strait, don't you reckon?
Well, I just asked you the question.
Well, I think it's Fife. I mean, we go back 2 years before he had his leg issues and he was 18 Brownlow votes after about 10 games. The thing with Dusty last year, Scott, and you probably know this better than I, is that a lot of his possessions behind the ball weren't as efficient and as effective. So now with Josh Caddy and Dion Prestia coming into the Richmond side, that releases him back forward again. I think where he can have maximum damage.
Oh, no doubt. I think any side that played against Dustin Martin last year, you're happy for him to do whatever he wants in the back half of the ground, whether that's, you know, getting around the back and getting your handball and, you know, kicking backwards or sideways, because he's probably, along with Dangerfield and Fife, in the best centre forward players in the game. If he's inside 60 or 70 one-on-one, I don't think there's too many defenders that can handle that. So, but I don't think he was able to get into that position enough last year to be fully damaging.
Word out of Punt Road is that he has spent the past 3 months very much well training in that forward half of the ground. So I think that's what we're going to see. Hey, the big story at the minute, or another big story, is the CBA. And you're a part of this. You're a senior figure, a very important person.
I'm watching from afar. I'm not a delegate, no.
Who is the delegate here, Tay?
No, Tyson Goldsack.
Oh, Goldie.
Yeah, he's a long-serving delegate.
Yes, okay, the headband. I like it. Good work, Goldie. Now, the issue is, Scott, that clearly the AFLPA are fixed on this or want this set percentage, and the AFL are calling their bluff, in my view, and that's what we're seeing happening at the moment. So give us your take on why this set percentage model is the way to go.
Well, I think as the game grows, it makes sense to look after the people who are making it grow. So for me, as players, sort of we're the product. Mm-hmm. And as the game's grown and it's got bigger and bigger...
It's a good product.
Yeah, it's a great product. And I think it could get better, though, with more access to players. Mm-hmm. And then, therefore, though, why would a player give up more of himself if he's not going to get or share in that massive growth that's going... Bananas in the AFL, you know, they've been able to bring in two new franchises. They brought in a women's league.
Yeah.
So there's obviously the money's there.
Money's in the pie.
They just maybe don't want to cough it up. So it is tricky, but then on the same time, they look to America all the time to model their game on how we can make ours more entertainment. Mm-hmm. They want to speed up the game and they'll make rule changes to do all that thing. And they look at that. They look at American sports to model themselves on. Mm-hmm. But the one key thing they're missing is the American models payment system. Mm. And their players get like 55%.
Yeah.
It's not what we're asking for. So
the issue
pretty straightforward.
Yeah, the issue with that is, mate, that it's apples and oranges, because in the US, these are all privately owned clubs. So Mark Cuban or whoever else who owns the NFL club doesn't have to worry about funding the game at grassroots level, at Auskick level. They don't have to worry about building the Adelaide Oval in another state to promote footy in South Australia. So my view is contrary, because at the moment I think the AFL is loosely budgeting on a 10% increase for the players. I wouldn't mind a little 10% increase, but I think that, to me, is fair reward. But when you've got that pie that you're talking about, and yes, there is more money in it, but I think the AFL has got... There's more hands out, you know, that for an AFL Auskick subscription, you'll get to know this in 5 or 6 years, you know, or you can just teach your son yourself. Probably that's not a bad idea either. But so, you know, it's $160 registration. We're in soccer, it's like $1,000 registration, and that is subsidised, my friend, by the AFL. So there's that. They're building stadiums. There is. I don't think it's as simple just to say yes, set revenue, because there's so much more to pay for. And because it's not privately owned, Joe Bugalug's in the US, he doesn't have to worry about all this other stuff. He just needs to make pay the players, win games, make a profit.
Yeah, so, it'd be great if it was that, if organisations were privately owned here. It'd be massive.
And Eddie would own it and
exactly. And then there'd be four or five clubs dominating the competition every year. But I think from the last deal when the AFL forecasted how much they expected to grow and do all these things. And then they go out and they almost double these forecasts.
Yeah.
And then they say...
They just found money, did they?
And they just think like, oh, well, so the players' percentage, oh, no, we can't give you any of the extra stuff we made because we're going to put that back into the game.
Yep.
It's like, that's a lot of the pie that, you know, we've all agreed on, and then all of a sudden you double or whatever the profit of the business.
Mm.
All this revenue. If you're a stakeholder in a business...
You want transparency.
Oh, everyone does, don't they? And I'm not saying that the AFL's not, but I think that it just, as the game grows and everyone, the key stakeholders need to grow with it. And I think it's something that we've got to fight for. And I don't think the players are going to blink either. If the AFL's not going to blink and don't blink, who knows what happens when that ball goes up in the first NAB Cup game, Jay?
I think you will blink because the AFL, the public, you're hopelessly conflicted, Scott, because the public aren't going to side with you. They're not going to say, you know, Scott Pendlebury, ex-player, is well paid. Why does he need to, you know, all this extra money? This will come down to one thing and one thing only, and that is whether the players will strike. Because if you don't, the AFL will keep calling it bluff, and that's what they're doing at the moment. So, Scott, as captain of the football club, would you strike? Would you sit down at the first quarter?
Yes. I have no qualms sitting down at the first quarter.
You wouldn't bother
you? No, not at all. As you said, like, you model yourself off what the best businesses in the world have done and the best sporting. NBA had two lockouts. They played a 50-game season instead of an 82-game season to prove a point that, you know, as players we need to be more respected than what they felt they were. And obviously, players, we sit back, we listen to Marshy, we take his advice. And if he come to this football club and said, Scott, I need you, in order to get this deal moving, we need you to sit out the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Watson's already put it on the agenda a few years ago.
Mm. What was it? What did he want to do?
He wanted to sit down in the first quarter.
And what do you think of that at the time?
What do I think of that at the time?
You're on board.
If Joe's going to, he's one of the most respected figures in the game. So
How's that going to go down with the public, though?
Oh, they'll be spewing, and rightly so. But they'll understand eventually when the media, you, Jay, print the story and you print all the facts, they'll read about it, they'll educate themselves about it, and they'll understand it's all for a bigger product, and they'll enjoy the game in the next season when the game is so much greater because they get so much more player access.
You're talking tough. Is this Goldie's view as well?
This is all players' views.
You're united. Hey, we'll talk Collingwood for a second because you are in the midst of the preseason and the games aren't far away. Who's catching your eye? How's it all going, your captain? It's been a while since you played in September. Is this going to be the year, Pendles?
Preseason's going well. They all do. They're all fun. They're all tough to be a part of. But as I said, being a part of a team is one of the greatest feelings you can have as an athlete, I think, the team environment, all putting the hard yards together, doing as many sessions as you can together. You know, it hurts, but everyone sticks out there and you're all doing it at a common goal. And our goal, obviously, this year is to rise up the ladder and try and get back into finals football. And, you know, the old cliches and everything goes, but, yeah, everyone's fitter here, everyone's stronger here, everyone's leaner, everyone's lost 4 kilos.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know why players come out and say all that stuff, but... Look, we're ready, and hopefully this year, when you watch Collingwood, you think, geez, they're a hard side to play against.
Mm. Weren't early in the first half of last year, I would say, and you would probably agree. Yeah, you know what you are doing? Because I see some of the photos that your wife puts on Instagram, and with your current rig, you are giving the dad bod a really bad name at the moment. So us fathers out there who aren't allowed to
lay off the ice cream late at night, mate.
Yeah, we're carrying an extra couple. You are certainly giving us a bad name. But who's caught your eye? Like, I thought Callum Brown early, before his unfortunate bout of glandular fever, was having a real crack. But who is there one bloke you can underline as being someone who stood out?
No, I don't think... It's pretty hard. Obviously, I'm here every day, so I see it every day. So there's different people that stand out from session to session. But I think, like, Jeremy Howe's one because it's his first full pre-season here. You know, he was
for his big games or dog bites or whatever it was.
For what?
Cricket games.
Oh,
then he broke his finger playing cricket.
Yeah, playing cricket.
Yeah.
So the cricket's been banned. But so he's playing frisbee with your dog.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Howie's been one because he's done every session. You actually realise how good of an athlete he is in pre-season. And how well he sees the game and how smart he is. And I think as he adapts more and more to the defensive role that he's in, he's one of the best in the game at the role that he plays.
Pretty handy last year. Was he fifth?
Oh, very, very handy. I think he was fifth in the best and fairest. I think he was fifth or fourth in the comp, one-on-one intercept marks.
Mm.
All the stuff that the modern footballer needs to be good at, he's elite at.
And he did take a couple more hangers, I think, on Monday at training, as I saw.
He did.
He can go well in the air. Mate, I know you're a big fan of boxing. Should we turn our hands to the sweet science?
Let's do that. What, Friday night?
Green Mundine.
What do you think of it?
I'm a green man. I'm a massive...
When did they last fight?
Green man. Oh, it was ages ago. Oh, it was...
10 years
must
ago?
Must be 10 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, 2007. They fought where? In Sydney?
Is it Sydney? Yeah, now in Adelaide.
And Mundine said that he... No, Green got weight drained.
Yeah.
And then went into the fight.
They went down shell to the lower class. Yeah.
Shell of himself, could barely throw a punch, had no power.
4% body fat.
Yeah. So basically cooked before, which they do in boxing. They weight drain you to get all the advantages they can. Because
you can't be feeling
Mundine
well.
Mundine thought he was the A-side in that fight. Mm. Green wanted the fight so badly, he was happy to meet all the terms. Mm. Mundine said, but now it's sort of been reversed, hasn't it?
So, exactly. Yeah, so now they're going up in weight.
They're going up
to 83 kilos?
I think it's 87 kilos.
87.
Yeah, so well, 14 kilo jump from Mundine's last fight to this fight, which doesn't mean 14 kilos. It means he doesn't have to weight drain probably 6 or 7 kilos to get down to 73. So he's obviously starting at 80, but he can go to 87. I don't think he should go to 87, otherwise he'll get
murdered.
He'll be too slow. Yeah. Well, his thing is he's got great defense. He's quick. He can move. Mundine can move, where Green is... He'll obviously be a lot more powerful on the night, and then Mundine's just got to hope that he doesn't get caught.
What do you think? Tell me, how's it going to play out?
I can't see how Green doesn't knock him out.
Knocks him out. Do you like the way Mundine goes about things?
He's polarizing, isn't he? But I respect him as an athlete. I think what he does in the ring and... and both guys, you hear a lot of people saying, I can't believe they're doing this. This is just a cash grab, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, you step inside a ring and make that your professional career. And
we're all going to watch.
You can't cry when they've, they both potentially make, 7, 8, 10 million each.
Yeah.
This is a professional sport. This is the last hurrah for them. So good on them for going out there and doing it. And, the public will tune in, I'm sure, to watch. Most of them will tune in to watch and hope Mundine gets beaten, but that's the beauty of Mundine is everyone's going to tune in to watch him.
Yeah.
And Green obviously is a great fighter himself and
champion of the community.
Oh yeah, he's got such a good image with the Australian public and his One Punch campaign and all that sort of stuff. So it's going to be a good fight, and I just think that Green's going to be simply too big.
Will Mayweather McGregor happen?
I hope not. Why? I understand why they're doing it. It's creating interest and promoting themselves, but you got one of the guys is the best. Mayweather's probably the best ever defensive fighter in boxing versus an MMA guy.
Yeah,
he's never fought before, so it's like saying, whichever way they go, whatever code they go to, Mayweather would dominate.
It has to be boxing,
yeah. Otherwise McGregor could almost kill him. But in boxing, it's just going to be stupid.
Would it last?
No one's going to touch him. He'll go 12 rounds if Mayweather wants it to, because he just won't get touched. But
it could go two rounds.
It could go two, yeah, absolutely. And they'll both make $100 million. So you'd do it from a financial sense.
Super Bowl week on Monday, or Super Bowl week coming up. We all know what an exciting showcase it is, the halftime show. We love how spectacular.
It's great live too.
It is.
Trust me.
I have. When did you go?
I went and watched...
Junket?
Yeah, I went and watched Denver versus Seattle in New York.
What was that a part of?
Gatorade. Yeah, so we went
there.
You
and Gaz.
Me, Gary.
Bestie Gary.
Bill Davern, the head of performance here, come over. He's a massive Patriots fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we'll get Monday off training here.
Really?
Will there be
20 blokes around
the
TV watching?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll probably schedule it up around so we can all watch the Super Bowl together and then train around the Super Bowl. So I think anytime there's big sporting events, you should try and get everyone to watch it because it's just the best of the best going at it.
Mm. I've seen a couple of the guys get around the
Patriots
NBA.
Will win.
Well, tell us who is going to win.
Patriots. Brady will get his fifth.
But is that because you're a defense versus offense man? So Atlanta Falcons are the best offense in the comp. They're the underdogs.
Yeah.
And I know they're playing in an indoor stadium, but what's your reasoning? Just because of Brady or the defense? Or
I think it's the first time Atlanta's been there in a long time. First time their quarterback's been there.
It's the year for upsets.
It is, but
fairy tale.
Yeah, I just think Brady's been there, done that before, calming influence in the locker. They're a great defense. And that's usually what holds up in big games. You've got to be able to score, but they've got Brady for that. So he'll be able to read it and react.
I just wonder whether Freeman, Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, with his running game, I wonder whether this high-scoring, rapid-fire, this potency of the Atlanta side is going to get the job done, and whether just the Deflategate stuff might distract them or something. I love a good storyline, Scotty, so we try and we beat these things up as much as we can. So I noticed, is it going to be a shootout? It's going to be an offensive game, isn't it, surely?
Yeah, you'd think so.
Well, I had a look at the odds, my friend, and I did see that the over 55 points is $1.70. So I might...
Everyone always tightens up in big games, though.
Yeah, possibly.
Everyone gets a bit gun shy.
Well, was it Carolina Panthers quarterback Cam Newton last year?
Did you see
that? What happened there? He on the big stage.
MIA.
And is that because of the moment you think, or he's had a bad game?
What do they say? Sometimes the lights are too bright.
You, however, love the big sort of stage. Hey, Pendles, we've just about run out of time. How do you think we went on our first show, the Pendles and Clarkey show?
Yeah, I think we've done all right, mate. I think we started off all right. I think the banter will go up another level next episode, I think. So far, so good.
All right, I like it. Hey, all the best on the track this week. Thanks very much for listening in. We'll catch you next week on the Pendles and Clarkey show.
Thank you.